Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
After a little bit of a hiatus, we're back.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
You know, I'm seeing this meme every few months on the internet that says, I'm getting tired of living through unprecedented times. And there's some truth to that. I feel like since 2020, there's been about five or six like stories of our lifetime that have happened. You know, we had a few months of normalcy, and then it was COVID. And then after that, it was the racial tensions with, you know, the George Floyd death and all the protests that erupted, and some of them got out of hand. Then January 6th, that was a new story of our lifetime. The botched pullout from Afghanistan, Russia invading Ukraine, and of course, last week, Roe versus Wade being overturned, which overshadowed something else that would have been the story of our lifetime. Congress finally cooperated to pass some gun reform.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, man, the 2020s are wild. Buckle up your seatbelt and hang on, because I remember back when COVID was a thing and everyone was like, I can't wait to get out of 2020. No, it's not 2020. It's the 2020s.
Whoa.
So I posted that on Facebook and someone said, thank God we've only got three more years left. You know, maybe I'll give my thoughts on the whole Roe versus Wade thing at the end of the show. That, you know, I like to do the controversial, serious stuff at the end of the show, so that if you just came here for fart jokes and us making fun of Dave, you'll get your fill of that before listening to me opine on less.
Before you get on your soapbox.
Before I get on my soapbox.
Wow.
So, Dave, why don't we just get right into your stack of stuff? We had two shows really close together. Now we've had a little bit of a break. So let's get our sea legs back underneath us.
This story takes us to one of my favorite places in the world.
Which jail.
Is, no.
The toilet.
No.
Whoa!
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, yes.
And
the Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
It's the story of Kevin Ford. And you may ask, who's Kevin Ford?
Oh, I know who he is.
So Kevin Ford... He worked for Burger King.
Yeah.
All right. In the Las Vegas McCarran International Airport for 27 years without missing one day of work.
Yeah. Spent my 28th honeymoon at that airport. Wow. Yeah. Well, unintentionally.
I got to tell you, I have gotten food from that Burger King many times.
Yeah.
So maybe Kevin had helped me out.
Why do I care about a Burger King in Las Vegas?
It's not about the Burger King, and it's not about Las Vegas.
I tried burying this story to be third and fourth.
But what is great about this?
Right,
but listen to this story.
This is top material.
27 years working, and what did he get for his tenure? They gave him a Starbucks cup, some candy, and a single movie ticket in a clear plastic backpack from the burger's chain, the parent company HMS Host, to show appreciation for his years of service.
Yeah,
that's nice.
So he worked 27 years. It never missed a day, and that's what he got from Burger King.
Is it a full-time job?
Full-time.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Maybe he's got a pension.
Well, I got a couple things.
Yeah.
First of all, Dave, I heard you do this exact same topic on the Mitch Albom Show with Steve Courtney and Marie Osborne, and now you're recycling it here.
Yes.
Because
I love this story.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you guys are going to have different viewpoints than Steve and Marie had, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
But this thing's a little misleading because that original goodie bag wasn't given to him by the company. It was given to him by a coworker who thought that he should get something for his 27 years of service. And I'm guessing as a Burger King employee, that's all they could afford.
Burger King issued a statement in response to the criticism that they got after his daughter went online and started a GoFundMe program for him, which has raised over $200,000.
Right.
Okay. And here, this was Burger King's response.
Did it start that way?
The company is committed to recognizing the achievements of its employees, and the gift bag that Mr. Ford received was a reward and recognition of a short-term positive performance experience.
What?
27 years? What?
Yeah. So he started with the good. Well, why do they even put out a statement? They didn't even give him the original goodie bag to begin with.
I don't know that. I don't actually see that it says that it was given to him from a coworker. Yeah, it said.
Well, he said that on the Today Show because they had him on the Today Show.
But so anyway, we've all worked here at the radio station for various number of years. What would you expect from? Do I want to ask this question,
Dave?
What you would expect from this?
Dave, so,
before I answer this question, hand me your stack of stuff. Right, I'm going to put it back in the order that it was in because this was supposed to be story three or four. So I'm going to answer. Give me your. Yeah,
this is unprecedented.
There we go. Yeah. Yes, okay.
He's
yeah.
Changing
this is
the order.
Yeah. This is the one that should have gone first.
Oh, I did not know that you had put it in order. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
I've never seen Mike Matter.
I wouldn't expect anything from this company, to be honest.
But
I mean, maybe an email that says, "Hey, great job," and then asking me to do something I don't want to do
on your way out.
Yeah.
Empty the trash.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just crazy. But good for him. Good for his daughter. Good for the GoFundMe. I mean, maybe we could do the same and start a GoFundMe.
How much did it raise so far?
$200,000.
Whoa! So I wonder, I mean, this guy's been there for 27 years. Could he live off that $200,000?
Well, he apparently looks very young for his age, according to his daughter, and he wants to see his grandchildren and spend some time. So. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Nice. I hope he gets a nice financial advisor to, you know, maybe make that money go further and he won't have to work for Burger King for 27 years.
I just think that's crazy. I mean, and I've been to that. It's a very nice Burger King.
I mean, honestly, the story is worse on Burger King's behalf because everyone thought that they gave him this pitiful little gift basket. It turns out they gave him nothing. It was another employee
making minimum wage. So it's even worse.
Spending their hard-earned paycheck.
Wow.
To get him something nice. So it's a very nice story.
There's probably people who've worked at Burger King longer than that.
Right. Maybe potentially.
And all they got was a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Next topic.
All right. You guys are familiar with Amazon Alexa, I assume.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So Amazon Alexa could soon mimic the voice of, are you ready for this? Your dead relatives.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the Seinfeld drop. No thanks. And, a lot of people are saying it's creepy. To me, I think it would just be sad. I think it would, and everybody, you know, grief and mourning is very personal for everyone and very different. So if this helps you cope, then God bless. But for me, I feel like it would be tough. It would make it harder for me to kind of move on and mourn. You know, if a loved one died, let's say, you know, my dad passed away in 2018. If my Alexa had his voice, I think it just kind of bummed me out every time I heard it.
So it's interesting you bring that up. So the capability unveiled at Amazon's conference in Vegas, and they said that the virtual assistant to mimic the voice of a specific person based on less than a minute of the provided recording. And what they showed was a video of a kid asking, can grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz? And then Alexa acknowledges the request and switches to another voice mimicking the child's grandmother.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back 1995.
Okay.
All right. I am finishing up my college and I'm doing a documentary.
Is this a Dave origin story?
It is.
Like
wow.
That.
All right.
So, I rent out the video recorder from the video department at Wayne State University.
Right. And it was one of those ones that you had to put up on your shoulder because
exactly.
It was so big.
And it had a full VHS tape that you put on the side.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Anyway, I take it home over the Thanksgiving break to test it out and learn how to use it.
Okay.
And my family is together for Thanksgiving, and I'm testing it out, taking videos of my family using the different modes that it has. Mm-hmm. All right. That video then has lived and now has been turned into a DVD. My mom watches this video where a lot of the people have passed away.
Oh.
Every Thanksgiving and loves it.
Yeah. Oh.
The whole rest of the family is annoyed by it. I took the video. I know what goes on the video.
I thought you meant the one thing that brings your mother comfort and joy.
Yeah, I filmed it. Yeah. But my mom, as you were saying, my mom loves seeing, and she says, I said, why do you, she cries because it's sad, but it gives her comfort. But I say to her the same thing. I go, why does seeing, she says, because for the video is like, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
For the 15 minutes, all those people are back in my life.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's very sweet. And like I said, I mean, if this function helps somebody feel some comfort or helps them mourn or makes them smile remembering a lost loved one, God bless. I'm not going to judge, just me personally. Because then what starts happening is like your head kind of thinks they're still there, you know, but it's just a robot voice.
I think that you're right, though. I think it's all about how you process
right.
grief and loss. And
yes.
And my mom also, she said she believes that if you don't talk about things, that they disappear.
Right.
Well, I don't believe that.
Right. They yeah. live on through okay. I mean, I can see yeah. her logic.
I mean, we all hate the video now because we have to
right.
you know, she forces us to sit there and watch this video.
Well, it's because she never cared about anyone in your life.
And I don't know about that.
I know.
I guess you're lucky I care about you guys. But you know, I feel like you do.
Yeah.
I feel like you're just like opening an old wound.
Yeah. I mean,
every time,
you know, and Dave, you've gone through this similar with your family too. You know, my father had multiple sclerosis and he had about a decade and a half decline. And, when he was, in advanced stage of his disease, you know, you know what happens. I mean, physical, the mental, the person, they're there, but they're not there. And I forgot why I had to call his cell phone, but the voicemail was from before the disease started to take its toll on him. And, you know, he sounded like my dad did when I was a kid. And even though he was still physically alive, you know, hearing that, it kind of took me aback and messed me up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what would happen with me with this Alexa thing, too.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how it simulates the voice. Like, do you think it would be that accurate?
Well, what Amazon said was they had to make a high quality voice with a shorter recording. So they only take a short recording of something that could be longer. And I guess they're able to mimic the voice as best they can.
Huh.
What I would rather do with this Alexa function is you know how like Windows, you used to be able to do text to speech,
right?
And then make that thing say a bunch of swear words. Right. Rich, you and I used to do that in college.
Yeah, that was great fun.
We would just make it say a whole bunch of dirty stuff.
Yeah, you could have your great grandma say terrible things.
Right.
And well, you mentioned Microsoft, and this Amazon thing comes as competitor Microsoft earlier this week said it was scaling back its synthetic voice offerings and setting stricter guidelines to ensure the active participation of the speaker. So,
yeah.
So while Amazon is pushing forward with this, Microsoft is now scaling back.
Here's the thing too. We've all seen the Terminator movies. We know what happens when these machines get too human. It doesn't end well.
That's a valid point.
It ends badass, but it doesn't end well.
That's a valid point.
So, all right, Dave, next topic.
I know that both of you are familiar with Taco Bell.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And you're both frequent.
Rich, you ever been to Taco Bell?
Yeah, I spent my 29th honeymoon at
Did
Taco
you?
Bell.
Do you guys like Taco Bell?
Do you? Well, guess what? Taco Bell's got a new menu item.
Oh, good.
Are you ready for this?
Oh, I got something to say about Taco Bell. You finish the story.
The fast food chain is testing two new menu items, actually, both of which feature an oversized Cheese It cracker. So consumers in Southern California can try either the Big Cheese It Tostada.
Wow.
Or the Big Cheese It Crunchwrap Supreme for 2 weeks or while supplies last.
Here's what I got to say to Taco Bell. Stop screwing around with these novelty menu items and just put the stuff back on the menu people want.
Yeah, like the Mexican pizza.
Right. I mean, you know, I've gone through a journey with my lactose intolerance. And by the time I was ready to have Taco Bell again, it had been a couple of years since I've gone there. So I'm really excited. You know, I've got my non-dairy menu down, and one day I go to Taco Bell and I say, hey, can I get a double-decker taco?
No, we don't sell that anymore. Whoa. Okay, can I get just a regular gordita? You know, the one that just with just the pita bread. We don't sell that anymore. Okay, can I get some Baja Blast? The machine's out of syrup. Okay, so what can I have? Well, we can give you a napkin and a sauce packet. That's it. Just bring back the stuff that people want and stop screwing around with these stupid little novelty menu items.
Well, I've got the answer for you, Rich.
Whoa!
That was Mike who was just talking. No, you're a little confused.
No. What did you say first?
I can't remember.
You said, what did you want them to bring back?
The Mexican pizza.
All right. So last month, Taco Bell had to remove the popular Mexican pizza from its menu weeks after bringing it back because of high demand.
So because of high demand, they got rid of it?
The restaurant. Yes.
How does that make any sense?
So listen, the restaurant cited.
It's a different business model. What we're going to do is we're going to take our most popular items off the menu and push the stuff that nobody wants.
This makes sense. Listen to why they're reasoning, then you can tell me.
Okay.
The restaurant cited one restaurant in California that sold more than 1,000 Mexican pizzas in one day and an order from a customer that included 180 Mexican pizzas.
Wow. I'm no business expert here, but to me, logic would dictate if you're selling out of something, it's popular, and you'd want to keep that on your menu.
But there's good news for Rich.
Again, we keep coming back to me. Listen, excellent. Yes. Go ahead.
Dave, you want me to leave? Quote, you want to talk to Rich in private here?
Talk amongst ourselves, Mike. If you could see yourself.
Yeah, it's okay. You know what? I got some videotapes to.
This is a quote from Taco Bell. While we're currently selling out for now of the Mexican pizzas, we're working diligently with our restaurants and suppliers to get more back in the hands and the stomachs of our biggest fans by the fall.
Okay, so they're
so you get ready, my friend, because the Mexican pizzas are coming back in the fall for you.
I don't even really like Mexican pizza.
Yeah, you know what? I never had the Mexican pizza.
And you won't.
Well, I did.
I don't want you to.
Well, it's too late. I had a Mexican pizza.
What?
It was underwhelming, obviously, because I couldn't have cheese on it.
You went behind my back and had a Mexican pizza.
Well, what did I tell you, Rich? I told you that I'm a grown adult.
Uh-oh.
And I will get what I want off the Taco Bell menu. Well, actually, I won't get what I want because everything I want is no longer on the menu.
But in the fall, it's coming back.
No, I told you I don't like the Mexican pizza.
But Rich will be happy.
No, I don't like it either. Mike, you remember when we went to that Pizza Hut Taco Bell combination place?
I do, by your house.
And you had some trouble with that as well.
Yeah, I think this was back when I could eat cheese. And back in the day, there used to be a bunch of drive-through Taco Bell.
Oh, I love this story.
/ Pizza Hut. Restaurants. And I remember I wanted a personal pan pizza. And they're like, no, we're about to close. You can have some tacos if you want. Like, wait a second.
They told you what you could have.
Right.
What they were willing to make for you.
Right. I mean, which I respect their directness. However, it did not get me any closer to my previously prescribed goal.
I'm wondering how to ask this question without sounding very rude.
Just out with it.
Yeah. Do you think
maybe some of the problems you're having with local establishments is you and your timing and your attitude?
Whoa! Absolutely not.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I am always I am an angel from heaven when it comes to people who touch my food. You always want to be polite to somebody who's handling your food.
Because you seem to be running into quite a few problems.
Mm. Right. The problem is everyone else but me.
Okay.
Come on, Dave. You know this. Right.
I'm just checking because I'm freaking
delightful, you dumbass. All right. Next topic.
Do you guys have any idea what a professional booster is?
No, it sounds X-rated.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Yes, what is it?
It's when you go to a restaurant and you have a baby, and they can't sit in a regular chair, so they bring another chair.
A booster seat?
Yeah, it's got to be it.
For the little kid.
Or if you're a shorter person.
No, Dave. No. I think Rich is right, Dave. I think you're wrong.
This is that great attitude that we get from Michael.
Tell us what a professional booster
with an alleged penchant for shoplifting.
Cool.
Okay. In Manhattan, retailers notched what could be her 100th bust. over the weekend.
Congratulations. Maybe her employer should get her a goodie bag.
Yeah. And was released for bail yet again on Sunday. Michelle McKelly, 42, was arrested late Saturday for allegedly pocketing $125 worth of goods from CVS. Now,
so wait a second. So I might have missed it. So a professional booster is just
a shoplifter.
Okay.
100 times she's been caught and she's been let go and she's been released every time and she just keeps on doing it.
She's been caught 100 times?
Yeah.
Well, how many times has she like stole stuff? Because if she's hasn't been caught 1,000 times, that's pretty good percentage.
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. It says here that she's also failed to appear on 27 court appearances on her multiple arrests and has five other pending cases against her.
Well, I would imagine it's a vicious circle. If you get caught shoplifting once, you can't go get a normal job. So you just got to kind of keep doing what you're doing and just hope that maybe you just get better at it.
She seems to be hustling it.
Right,
as far
exactly.
As I'm concerned.
But here's the interesting part about this story. The charges do
I'm
not.
Glad there's one of them.
the charges do not qualify for bail under the 2019 state reform, which means prosecutors can only ask that she be let go on supervised release while the case is pending.
Yeah.
So they arrest her. They can't get bail for her, so they can't put her in jail. So they let her go on supervised release. And she goes and she does it again.
I like this lady.
I mean, she sounds like she's actually pretty good at it. If she's been caught 100 times and let go every time, she probably knows like what the threshold is before it's a felony.
It seems to me like there's a little bit of admiration on the part of law enforcement.
Last month, she was charged with robbing a Rite Aid on 2nd Avenue in Manhattan like 10 times.
What they need to do is hire this woman.
Yeah.
To be like, you know how like the government hires hackers to help prevent hacking?
Yeah.
That's what they need to do with this lady and shoplifting.
When she was arrested in February for allegedly ripping off a Target store on the Upper East Side, she bragged that she hadn't been caught in a long time to the cops.
I like her.
They probably know her.
Her reasoning for ripping off the Target was she said she needed a new outfit. Understandable.
Well, sure. Appreciate her honesty. What's her name? Is her name in there?
Yes. Michelle McKelly, 42 years old.
The cops probably get called to a shoplifting wrong and like, we know it's you again, Shelly. Oh, hey, Shelly, how's your mom doing? You know, they really get to know her.
They make small talk.
Right.
Now, the cops did ask her, or I'm sorry, not the cops, the post where this story came from. They asked her what else she could do for a living as she left the courthouse. And she said, well, I would be a caretaker for old people.
Oh,
that's she said
nice.
Was once her job.
Wow. So probably she stole like from them.
She probably stole
those retirement homes. You know,
probably what happened is she was getting paid about the same as that guy working at Burger King as a caretaker, and decided that a life of crime would be more lucrative.
Sure. So the post asked her what happened to her old job. She just said life. That's what happened.
It happened.
Diplomatic.
Like I said, since 2020, the world has changed about 7 times.
Yeah.
So are you a fan of this lady?
Yes.
Because she's like a, kind of like a
societal deviant.
You know, she's kind of like, I kind of feel like you kind of had some admiration for her.
Yes.
I respect anyone who's a master at their craft.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. All right, Dave, next topic.
All right.
How many more we got here?
This is the last one.
Okay. I just want to budget our time.
I just found this right before we decided to do this.
Breaking whatever Dave news.
Yeah. Beer made from recycled toilet water wins admirers in Singapore.
Oh,
I am so tempted to NT you right now, but continue.
It's called New Brew. And it's a
brew. Yes. It's like a rerun.
It is made from it's made in Singapore from blonde ale and recycled sewage.
Oh,
it's getting high marks.
Well, there's got to be more to this because technically all tap water is recycled sewage. It's just very treated.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes, Michael, that's a good point. I never realized.
First
that.
Unveiled at a water conference in 2018.
Oh man,
WaterCon.
Yes, this new brew
spent
went on sale in supermarkets
there.
In April.
Wait, say that again.
It went on sale in April.
Yeah.
You know, it says here the guy who purchased the beer from a supermarket said, "I seriously couldn't tell that this was made of toilet water."
They should put that on the box.
That was Chu Wee Lane, 58.
Can't believe it's not toilet water.
Yeah. Spray.
Yes.
Wow. Is Fabio going to do the commercials?
Yes.
For
New Brew uses New Water, Singapore's brand of drinking water recycled from sewage, which first flowed from treatment plants in 2003 to improve the island's water security.
All right. I mean, like I said, all water is technically recycled sewer water. It's a
beautiful
thing.
Pub says that the new beer is part of an effort to educate Singaporeans on the importance of sustainable water use and recycling.
Yeah.
So you guys have a problem with this? Would you like to try this?
Well, I want to know this guy who gave that review about not knowing it was made from sewer water. If he knew it was made from sewer water before he drank it, or did they wait until he took a sip and then tell?
That's a valid point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. It says here the idea of processing sewage into drinking water, once largely resisted, has been gaining support in the past decade as the world's supply of fresh water is increasingly under stress. So because fresh water is hard to find around the world,
yeah,
they have gone to the process of reusing sewage water and making it potable. And then now it is making the new brew beer taste better, according to people in Singapore.
Mm. Well, I'd be very curious to take a field trip to the new to you water sewerage.
I went to the.
That's right.
Don't bring that up.
Okay,
again.
I won't. I'll
seventh grade field trip to the wastewater plant. Oh my gosh.
What a terrible field trip.
That was horrible.
I would rather just be in school.
I would have too. I would have rather taken a math test.
Yeah. All right, Dave. So last week we tried to get you a review, get a review from you on the Elvis movie, because one of our P1s, Mr. Positive, has been pumping this all over the internet. So we're gonna throw him a bone, and you go in and tell us how you like the Elvis.
You know,
movie.
I did see the Elvis movie, and I give it a C+.
Wow.
I thought it was well done. It was told through the eyes of Elvis's manager, who turned out to be just a horrible person. Colonel Tom Parker.
He gave Elvis a goodie bag of treats on his 27th anniversary.
No, he did
King some.
He did something worse. What he did was he got him
hooked on drugs.
He took
amphetamine.
He took like 50% of his earnings, and then when Elvis tried to leave him, he had the contract written, so he kept track of everything that he had ever loaned Elvis, and then Elvis had to pay him back that, and basically tried to bankrupt Elvis.
Damn.
And he wasn't even like a real person. He was a carny. He called himself the Snowman.
He was carnies are people too, Dave.
Come on, Dave.
He was a person who came from like Europe somewhere and didn't even have a passport, which is why when Elvis wanted to take his show international, he fought against it and then got him his gig in Vegas. The movie, listen, Tom Hanks played Colonel Parker and did a nice job. The guy who played Elvis was really good. And it did tell the story of how Elvis rose to fame and, you know, took the generations and changed their feelings on music. And he went through a lot of different. There was skinny Elvis, of course. There was fat Elvis, of course. You know, and reinvented himself many times.
Fat Elvis had a donk.
Oh yeah,
but I give it a C+. I was like 4 years old when Elvis died.
Right,
and
I wasn't even born yet.
I also feel that Elvis is more popular than he was ever alive.
Maybe,
but.
Other people
I've talked to, this is going to be a generational thing. Yeah. I think the older generations are going to love this because they remember Elvis in his prime, whereas the younger generations are going to be like, okay, Elvis's music is cool, but I don't know if they're going to be as excited about this movie as other people.
Right, because he was revolutionary in his time.
He was.
By the time we got to us, you know, it did mimic. And
exactly
same thing with the Beatles.
So Mr. Positive, my apologies. I know you feel this movie is like, you know, Oscar award winning and just the greatest thing ever. But I was more excited for Top Gun personally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gave your honest assessment.
That's all we can ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You Rich knows my least favorite thing about going to the movies.
And that
is? Yeah. The MJR clap.
The clap.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I hate the MJR clap.
I like tense up when it's going to happen.
Not only don't like the clap, I don't like the people that yell woo after the clap.
I'm not a big fan of group joy, so it's very triggering to me.
And it's like that commercial with the old guy for Geico where he's like, the people that made the movie aren't here. Why are you clapping?
Yeah.
Oh, the people that recorded the MJR theme aren't here. Why are you clapping
right.
for them?
Exactly.
So I agree with that guy.
Yeah.
But that might make us like get off my lawn, old guy too.
I don't care. I'd rather be right than love,
which is maybe why you're not getting what you want at the certain eating establishments.
Dave, your claims are baseless.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So, God, I hate talking about these super serious topics, but I feel it's weird. It's weird to ignore them. So you guys can chime in as much or as little as you want. Abortion's such a tough topic to talk about, especially me as a man. It doesn't matter what I think until it's on the ballot. All I will say is this. And I said it when the draft of Roe versus of the overturn of Roe versus Wade came out. And we all know it doesn't make abortion illegal in all 50 states, but it doesn't guarantee that it'll stay legal in all 50 states. And all the polling has stayed the same. This country has a massive appetite for compromise when it comes to abortion. In this country, very few people are for super late term abortions unless it's medically necessary. And very few people are for a straight up ban of it. I mean, I can only speak from personal experience. The women I know in my life who've had abortions that I know of, there might be some that I don't know of. None of them have been elective. They've either been medical for the health of the mother, or the baby was no longer alive in the womb and they didn't want to carry it to term. I understand the moral objection to abortion, but there's a lot of slippery slopes out there, And I have to say, Clarence Thomas, what he wrote in his opinion alarmed me. The other Supreme Court justices made it clear that the only right they were discussing in Roe versus Wade in their ruling was Roe versus Wade. Alito made sure that was very clear. Kavanaugh said that a woman should have the right to travel to a state where abortions are legal if they're illegal in her state. And Judge Roberts even said that it wasn't necessary to overturn Roe versus Wade to overturn the original Mississippi law, which is the law that got it kicked up to the Supreme Court to get Roe versus Wade kind of on the docket there. He said that they didn't necessarily need to overturn Roe versus Wade to overturn the Mississippi abortion law. I'm still conflicted on abortion itself. I lean towards wanting it to stay legal just as for medical reasons. And I think that we are living in very radicalized times. But, you know, Clarence Thomas said in his opinion that maybe we should re-examine the court case that made contraceptives for married couples a protected right, that made gay marriage a protective right. And,
oh, really?
He
said all that?
He said we might want to re-examine these.
Wow.
And then there is another one. I don't want to be too graphic, but it essentially protects a consensual act that people do in their own bedrooms. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the most concerning part of all of this, is that the other justices did their best to just kind of make the Roe versus Wade ruling about Roe versus Wade, where Clarence Thomas wants to look at the rights of gay couples, of married straight couples. And I wish Judge Clarence Thomas a happy retirement, and I welcome him to start that retirement whenever he's ready.
Sure.
So that's Speaking of Tom Hanks, that's all I got to say about that.
You know, I will say, you know, I'm pro-choice. I am pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've always been pro-choice.
I'm one of those people in the middle that says we need, you know, we need compromise. I think most people are.
I also will say that until the pro-life people can give us a definitive answer, which they can't even come up with within their own party or whatever, their group, when the fetus becomes viable,
right,
then I'm pro-choice.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of my,
and that's the bottom line. I mean, they, you know, they can't even decide when it is within their own group. How are they going to tell us and then, you know, get upset with the pro-choice people if they can't even decide themselves?
Yeah. Well, and that's my concern. You know, if you live in a state that is a little more far right, and yes, they say that abortion is legal in the medical sense, is that going to open doctors up to sort of being investigated for every single medical abortion they sell? It's very messy. You know, there's a lot of people very upset with it. Just like everything that's happened since 2020, it's very divisive. And like I said, my main takeaway is that Clarence Thomas seems like he's lost his damn mind. And to me, that part is very concerning.
I agree with you there.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that was painless, I guess. we'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye.